What was the purpose of Jesus' life 2,000 years ago? On today's Telling the Truth, Pete Briscoe answers that question and shows you how it relates to your purpose today. He'll get started in just a moment. So many people are struggling right now, and for many different reasons. It's likely that you're dealing with some uncertainty or anxiety in your own life. We want to help you trust in the work of Jesus with a special devotional book from Pete Briscoe called Power for Today. These 80 devotionals will help you grow in your confidence of the indwelling Christ as he brings healing to your pain and empowers you to share that same hope with our hurting world. Power for Today is our way to say thanks for your gift to help keep this broadcast on air and online. And if you make your gift monthly, we'll also send you the 16-message companion series on USB as a special thank you for your partnership. So please call now to get your resources when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. Again, that's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete Briscoe with his message, You Have a Purpose.
Before we dive in, I'm going to pray, so please bow with me. Father, I offer myself to you that you might have your way with us. I believe that when we open the word and your spirit speaks through a person, that you have a message for each of us. And so that's what we're going to do now. I pray you'd speak through me by your spirit. I pray that every single one of us would hear what you want to say to us. We'd be open and available. I pray you'd change the way we see the world. We'd change the way we see ourselves. We'd see you differently because we spent this time in your word. I offer myself to you. I am your instrument. Play me well and touch us in the process, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me start with a question today. Why are you here? Seriously, why are you here? Why are you here on the planet? Why are you using up valuable oxygen, like right now? Why are you creating a carbon footprint? Why? Why are we here? It's one of the most important questions we ever ask. It's the question of purpose or meaning. Robert Brine said, "The purpose of life is a life of purpose." Does that help? I mean, it's true, but it's not all that specific. If you were to Google what is the purpose of life, which I did this week, you will discover a lot of incredibly depressing answers to that question. One of which came from Charles Schulz. Remember Charles, the Peanuts cartoonist guy? Charles Schulz said this, quote, "I don't know the meaning of life. I don't know why we're here. I think life is full of anxieties and fears and tears. It has a lot of grief in it. It can be very grim. And I do not want to be the one who tries to tell someone else what life is about. To me, it is a complete mystery." End quote. I think a lot of people feel that way. I know the young man that my dad ran into in a coffee shop in Manchester, England years ago would have said the same thing. My dad was trying to get to know him. And so he just said, "Share with me your story. Who are you? Why are you here?" The purpose question. And the young man said, "Well, my parents told me I was an accident. Told me they didn't want me in the first place. I'm living a really reckless life. I'm going to die probably one day soon. I'll probably die in an accident. So who am I? I am an accident suspended between two accidents." How's that for a purpose? An accident suspended between two accidents. When our children were small, we were trying to be good parents. We're still trying to be good parents. We were trying to be good parents to the small kids at that point. And so we got a hold of what's called the Shorter Catechism. I don't know if you've ever seen this. The Presbyterian Church put it out hundreds of years ago. And what it is it's a set of questions and answers. And the parents ask the child the question, and then the child responds with the answer, and they memorize them, and they're pretty helpful. And it's really long, and Libby and I only got through like a page and a half. So we think we did the shortest catechism instead of the shorter catechism. But we did get through question number one. I remember question number one. If you grew up in a Presbyterian church, you probably remember it too. The question is, what is the chief end of man, of mankind? What is the chief end of man? What is the purpose of mankind? It's the first question on the catechism. And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever, which is a great answer. It's a little esoteric. It's not extremely pragmatic, but it's a pretty good answer. I discovered personally and with other people that I talk to that until we get a firm biblical answer for what our purpose is, for the why question, why am I here? We just keep asking all the way through our life. Until the Bible tells us, we keep asking. Think about it. Teenagers are asking this question. Young people in middle school and high school are asking, why am I here? What's the purpose? And there's a wide array of voices that are speaking into that, trying to give them answers. And maybe the confusion comes from the fact that they don't really know which voice to listen to. College graduates are asking this question. Am I right? I mean, they got that piece of paper now. They got mountains of debt. And they're asking, why am I here? And usually the answer to that question for them is going to have something to do with their vocation, what they're going to start doing for a job. But then a few years later, as young adults, they realize that their vocation didn't scratch the purpose itch. That didn't quite answer that question. And so they get married, thinking that'll do it. And then they have kids, thinking that'll do it. And when you're doing that, all you're doing is adding roles to your life. You're not answering the purpose question. A lot of people confuse roles and purpose. You have a specific role and you think that's your purpose, but roles and purpose are very different. And if you just keep accumulating roles, you're not getting any closer to answering this incredibly important question, which is, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What is my purpose? So people get to midlife and they realize, many of us realize in their 40s and 50s, you know what? What I decided to do with my life isn't really who I am. We feel like a square peg in a round hole. And we start to ask the question, can I really do this for another 15 or 20 years? Or am I just going to waste the rest of my life as well? Mothers feel this very powerfully when they become empty nesters and they've been pouring their life, their heart and soul into their rugrats for 20, 22, 24 years. And all of a sudden, phew, they're gone. There's this vacuum. There's this, what am I going to do now? It's the purpose question. Even successful people ask this. I talked to a friend this week who closed down his company. He told me, you know, I've made enough. Enough is enough. And now he's seeking the Lord on what happens now. What do I do now? The purpose question. What's next for me? And a lot of people think, you know what? At least when you get old, you know the answer to this question. But you know what? A lot of old people don't know the answer to this question either. I think it was Walker Percy who said, you can get all A's and still flunk life. You can do everything right. You can do everything the way culture tells you to, the way society tells you to, and get to the end of your life and look back and think, man, I think I missed it. I still don't know if I did what I was supposed to do. And until you get a firm biblical answer for what is the purpose of life, I'm convinced you just keep asking it and asking it and asking it. So what I'd like to do today is I'd like to take you to the Bible and tell you what the purpose of life is so you can stop asking. Does that sound like a good plan? How about if all of us after today don't have to ask this question anymore? As I study scripture, I believe that we have three callings on our lives, three purposes on our lives. We have a primary purpose, a secondary purpose, and a personal purpose. The personal purpose is just our unique application of our primary purpose, which is the same for all of us, and our secondary purpose, which is the same for all of us as believers as well. Let me walk you through what I think they are. Primary calling, primary purpose in life, answers the question, who am I? It's an identity question, and it's an identity answer. Your primary calling, my primary calling, is to someone, not to something. Our primary calling is to a relationship. Our primary calling is to be a child of God. It's your primary call, to be God's kid, to be God's child. All the biblical writers speak of this in the New Testament. I love the way John said it in 1 John 3:1. He said, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You can almost hear the excitement in his voice. Children of God, and that's what we are. We're God's kids. It's our primary calling. I think that's probably what the writers of the Shorter Catechism were thinking when they said to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's a relational statement. To know God, to reflect him, to enjoy him, like father and son, father and daughter enjoy one another. It's our primary calling. That's not what we're talking about today. Secondary calling. If primary calling answers the question, who am I? Secondary calling answers the question, all right, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Our secondary calling is to something, to a way of life. If our primary calling is to be his child, our secondary calling is to be his instrument, to be his instrument.
We hope you're enjoying today's message from Pete Briscoe. And we want you to know that it's support from friends like you that keep these biblical teachings on the air, encouraging you and others, like Darren, who wrote in to say, thank you for all your daily devotionals and words of encouragement. They are especially uplifting during these trying times. Right now, you're invited to help impact even more lives through your gift of support to Telling the Truth. The teachings you love, the daily devotionals in your inbox, the biblical resources available online are all possible thanks to support from friends like you. So please give generously today. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you Pete Briscoe's 80-day devotional book, Power for Today, to help you live well through every struggle and setback. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, we'll also send you Pete's 16-message companion series on USB. So call now to get your resources from Pete when you give. And thank you for helping more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, back to Pete.
I love the way Paul describes redeemed people in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Listen to this beautiful analogy. He said, we are, quote, instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Isn't that a beautiful analogy? You are an instrument for his special purpose in your life. Made holy and useful to the master. How awesome to think that we could be useful to him. Remember, if it's true that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's true that he indwells believers by his spirit, and if it's true that he will express himself through us if we let him, then his life in us today is going to look just like his life among us on earth 2,000 years ago. So if we want to know what our purpose is, the question we ask is, well, what was the purpose of Jesus 2,000 years ago? Because he's living in us. He wants to express himself through us. He's going to do what he did then if we let him. This is how we figure out what our purpose is, what we do today. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 of Luke 3, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Listen, you are my son. Primary calling to be a child of God. Right here, the first words spoken over Jesus as an adult. You are my child. It's your primary calling. Not only that, I love you, and I'm well pleased with you. Can I please note, Jesus hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't even got his secondary calling yet. He doesn't even know what he's doing yet, as far as the text is concerned. And God says, hey, you're my boy, I love you, I'm pleased with you. He says the same thing to us. If all we ever exercise is our primary calling of being his child, we have fulfilled our purpose on earth. It's an amazing thought. He's pleased with us. Isn't that beautiful? It's called grace. But there's a longing in a believer's heart to be used by him. There's a longing in our heart to be a part of his kingdom purposes. There's a longing in our guitar hearts to be played by the master, for him to create tunes through us. And that tune that he wants to play is our secondary calling. And we discover this in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. I want to point out, Luke is consistent. He keeps reminding us that Jesus is functioning in the power of the Spirit. The Son of God had to function in the power of the Spirit. Do you think you might have to? You think I might have to? Luke has reminded us that the Spirit was there at the conception of Jesus. The Spirit was there at the baptism of Jesus. The Spirit was there at the temptation of Jesus. And now as Jesus starts his ministry, the Holy Spirit is intimately involved here too. Jesus lived his life in dependence on the Father through the Spirit. It was the Spirit that empowered him. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I was reading in my quiet time this weekend the book of Acts, reading about Paul's missionary journeys. And as he went into one village, it said, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, the exact same words. And it struck me, well, Jesus was living through Paul. And when Jesus is living through us, the customs of Jesus become the customs of us. We become Christ-like. We look like him. Our life looks like his life, even to the point of it was his custom then to go into the synagogues on the Sabbath. It says Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. The way worship worked in the synagogues, they didn't have a pastor or a preacher there. They would just ask one person to read the scroll each week, and then after standing to read, they would sit down and they would comment on what they had read. Jesus was a very famous teacher already. He was in town. The synagogue was probably full of family and friends that wanted to hear him teach. And so it was his turn today. And so the scroll was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Now here comes his secondary calling. And because he lives in us, it's our secondary calling too. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. He went to the scroll, and this is where he got his secondary calling from. Verse 18, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Boy, Luke just keeps coming back to this, doesn't he? Right there in the Isaiah text, Jesus reminds us, this is the Spirit working through me. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me," or set me apart, "to do five things." He's going to list five things, but these five things are really one thing. They're just five different perspectives of the same thing. So let me list them for you. "He has anointed me to, number one, preach good news to the poor. Number two, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Number three, a recovery of sight for the blind. Number four, to set the oppressed free. And number five, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Five things, really one thing. Five things, really one tune. And let me summarize the tune for you like this. Jesus' secondary calling is to help helpless people. To help helpless people. And because he lives in us, that's our secondary calling too. To help helpless people. But look at the way he describes helpless people. To preach good news to the poor. They're helpless because they lack resources and they lack opportunity. They lack education. Many of them lack food and shelter. They lack the bare necessities of life. They need help. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Is there anything more helpless than being locked in a prison cell? It's pretty helpless. I mean, you're captive. But today there's other ways to be captive, a prisoner. You can be prisoner to an addiction, can be prisoner to a miserable marriage. Be prisoner in a home where you have an abusive parent. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of prisons. Jesus said, I came to rescue you. If you're in prison, I came to rescue you. Recovery of sight for the blind. It's pretty helpless being blind. He's also talking about spiritually blind people. They're helpless too because they live in sin and despair and death and they have no hope. To set the oppressed free. Oppressed people are helpless because oppressors are brutal. Despots, pimps, thugs, unethical landowners. The list goes on and on and on of the way people have been oppressed over the centuries. Jesus said, I see your oppression and I've come to rescue you. You're helpless. I've come to help. And how does he do this? Verse 19, I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The word favor is acceptance. The word year could be translated era or epoch or season. I've come to announce, to inaugurate, to start the new season we are calling the Lord's acceptance, the secondary calling. It's our secondary calling as well.
Pete Briscoe with the first part of his message, you have a purpose. He'll be right back with a final thought. Racism, classism, favoritism. It's clear our world is broken by a lot of isms. And the truth is, only Jesus can mend the deepest pain of our world and in our lives. That's why Pete Briscoe put together his devotional book, Power for Today, to help you experience God's healing in the midst of all this brokenness, so you can then be a source of God's hope to the world. You can get a copy of this 80-day devotional when you give to help keep this broadcast going strong, so more people can experience life in Christ. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, we'll also send you Pete's 16-message companion series, What Will Jesus Do? On USB, which shows you how abiding in Christ brings His healing into your life. So call now to get your resources when you give. And thank you for helping more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Pete to close out today's message.
I think one thing that's really interesting about this is what Jesus did not say. Because he's reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, but he didn't read the whole verse, the whole last verse. It says in Isaiah 61, verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's where Jesus stops, but it keeps going. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. That's an interesting part to skip. Why would Jesus skip that part? The reason Jesus skipped that part is because the first time Jesus came at the incarnation, at his birth, when he lived on earth before he died and rose again, the first time Jesus came, he came to usher in the age of acceptance, the age of grace, the age of jubilee. And that is the age in which we now live. We're still living in that age. The age where Christ enables us to help helpless people. Jesus is coming back, scripture teaches us. The second time he comes, when he comes back, he will finish the sentence. The second time he comes back, he comes as judge and will bring the vengeance of God against those who have said no to him. But he doesn't say that day in the synagogue because that's way in the future and he wants them to realize this season right now, this era is the era of grace. I'm here to help all you helpless people who want help. I love this secondary purpose that God gives us in scripture because think about it. It is specific enough that you know when you're doing it, helping a helpless person, you know when you're doing it, but it's broad enough that there are literally millions of potential applications. There's a million different ways you can help a helpless person, but it's specific enough that you know when you're doing it. Look as the text continues, verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. This is the posture for teaching. Now he's going to explain the text he just read. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. They couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. He began by saying to them, Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In Christ, this mission, this purpose of helping helpless people, on that day, this age of grace was inaugurated. Today, he says, it starts in Christ. And what's really, really amazing is in the Christian, in the Christian, in you and me, this mission, this purpose is still being lived out. We're still in the age of grace. And Christ through us is still desiring to play this beautiful song. It's called Help the Helpless Ones. All spoke well of him in verse 22 and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. This is an inferior translation. This is what it says literally. And all were amazed at the logos hokaris, the words of grace that came from his lips. This is the first time we see people amazed by grace in scripture. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Right here, first time. Jesus said, I'm ushering in the age of grace. And it says they were amazed at the words of grace that came from his lips. What a day this was.
Thanks for that message, Pete. We hope you've been encouraged by today's message from God's Word. And before you go, we want to remind you, you can get a copy of Pete Briscoe's New Power for Today devotional book when you give to help keep these biblical messages coming your way. It's only thanks to support from friends like you. Telling the Truth continues sharing the gospel on air and online around the world. So please consider giving today to help reach even more lives with the good news of Jesus. And if you're able to make your gift monthly, you'll also receive Pete's 16-message series, What Will Jesus Do?, on USB, the companion resource for the Power for Today devotional. So call now to get both of these encouraging resources when you give to help more people experience life in Christ. 1-800-889-5388, 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. We're so glad you've listened today. Come back tomorrow to hear more from Pete on the amazing purpose God has for you. Experience life next time on Telling the Truth.